Welcome to Eclipse, a Dungeons & Dragons sci-fi fantasy thriller. I'm Jeremy Fair, my pronouns are he, him, and I will be the Dungeon Master.
My name is Megan Kelleher, my pronouns are she, her, and I play Ava Elkin, whose pronouns are also she, her.
I'm Kate, I'll be playing Sol Red Boothammer, and both of our pronouns are she, hers.
I'm Danny, I'll be playing Whiskey, and both of our pronouns are she, hers.
I'm Rob, I'll be playing Info-O-Scott, and our pronouns are he, they.
And I'm Adam DeWeese, I go by he, him, and I'll be playing Dr. Shepard, who goes by they, them.
Last time on Eclipse, you all finally have been reunited. And what is more, you actually managed to get back in the ship and escape from the moon. And now you are in the outer atmosphere. However, as you were trying to escape, at least one Githyanki ship began to follow you all. You managed to outrun some of the others that showed up on the radar, but you were not fast enough to escape all of them, and you actually got into a quick battle with one of them. You were all damaging it pretty severely. It didn't really do that much damage to you, but it did seem like it was able to keep up with you for quite a while. And then suddenly on the radar, another ship was approaching, and it actually was the Eclipse with the Gary 1. And the Eclipse came flying out of basically nowhere, launched an attack, and blew up that Gith ship that you were all fighting. Now, a couple minutes has passed, and it does not seem like there are any more targets on your radar that are nearby. And you are in this smaller ship, but the Eclipse is nearby. And Gary is starting to bring the ship over to you all and dock so that you can transfer over back to the other ship so you're not cramped in this small ship. Is there anything you wanted to do before you all separated? And also, who is riding where? Is Sol Red going to stay on the other ship? Both of you, you can assume, are going back to Torel to debrief and to take a well-needed break and to also try to find out what the hell is going on here, because the Githyanki are supposed to be your allies.
Yeah, I think Sol Red, I feel like she'd want to stay on her own ship, but I think it'll be really hard to separate her from Apricot at this point.
Yes, Apricot. Thank you. We need all the help we can get, so if Apricot gets us one new recruit.
Yeah, so she'll probably go with the crew on the not cool ship.
And then is Whiskey also going on the Eclipse? The Eclipse is much larger. It has multiple rooms. It's not just a single room ship.
Yeah, I think she'll be more comfortable on a bigger ship. Doesn't matter that she's little. She likes her space.
So Red's also curious as to what kind of beans you all have on your ship, so.
It was a very bean-heavy episode last time.
And it actually works out that the two of you are helping them to pilot this larger ship, because they are down to crew members. And even though, you know, two people or three people could navigate this ship with the Gary, if they were to get into some sort of firefight, they would be extremely disadvantaged, whereas the other ship can do pretty well with two people. So you were all able to transfer over to the Gary pretty easily, and you are now on the Eclipse. And when you come aboard, Gary greets you all.
Welcome back. What is your desired destination?
Torel, Gary.
You wish to travel to Torel?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Setting course for Torel.
And as that happens, the ship will turn on some of its engines and it'll start slowly moving before it begins to go up to speed and moving in that direction. You all know that this trip to Torel is going to probably take, about 2 or 3 days to get there. But that is still pretty impressive compared to even the ship speeds, you know, not even 20 years ago. It's a fraction of the time it used to take.
I think the first reaction that Sol Red is going to have, she's going to look over at Dr. Shepard and be like, What was that? Is that your Gary?
I am Gary, and I respond to everyone.
Yeah, no matter what,
She's like looking around.
Which is interesting because the Gary 2 only responded to Captain Burke.
Yeah, that's our Gary.
He's very charismatic.
Is there anything that Gary can do for you, Sol Red?
She is taken aback that it knows her name.
Yeah, I'll say telepathically, I have no idea how he knew your name.
The Gary is very perceptive.
I guess you can just call me Red. She is looking around, not sure if she has to speak into something. She's never commanded the ship before.
And this ship, Sol Red, you have been on, more ships than just that last ship. But this is a pretty impressive science vehicle. It has a much larger cockpit. It has a dedicated engine room that is about the size of the ship you're used to being in. It has dedicated bunks and rooms where you all can sleep. There is a separate bay where it is a detachable room where they can do different experiments and able to separate the ship if they needed to. It does not move nearly as quickly. This thing has multiple guns, a large zap cannon. It also has an extremely large claw arm that can be used to grab, very heavy things and bring them with or do mining work. This ship is a pretty big upgrade from the one that you were all driving. But the one that you were all driving kind of belonged to the Harpers, and it was made to be kind of a stealth ship as you were all on the secret mission. So it makes sense that this one, which really isn't designed to be stealthy, is a lot more equipped.
We only got to play with it once, but it was a lot of fun when we did.
I think just through this journey, Sol Red is probably just checking out how things run and if there is a manual on this ship, learning the ins and outs of it, as that was kind of what she did in the last one. So she wants to definitely be useful in case something happens.
Yeah, if there's a manual, I want to read over your shoulder.
We have two manuals, Whiskey.
Well, that's excellent then.
Yeah, I think you could probably access some digital archives on the ship that'll tell you exactly how different systems work and how, different. I mean, really, you can actually see the different levels of how the engine's doing, the power's doing, and the shield and the weapons and the ammo, and it's all kind of displayed there. But you can definitely access some sort of informational archive. So while you're all traveling, you do make it the 2 to 3 days without any interruptions. You don't encounter any other ships in the vastness of space. You manage to stay relatively close and certainly within communication of Captain Burke and Erky Timbers. And before, too long, in a couple days, you end up approaching the atmosphere of Torrel. Just outside of Torrel, which is, for any listeners that might not know, the planet where everything in the Forgotten Realms exists, the actual base for the Lord's Armada is actually on Saloon, the moon that orbits. And essentially, that's how they revolutionized space travel. They were able to build these teleportation panels where you, as passengers, could teleport from the ground in Torrel directly to the moon base, and then just simply take the ships from there, and you don't have to worry about exiting or entering the atmosphere. And of course, because you are, all of you except for Whiskey, are members of the Lord's Alliance, you dock this large ship, the Eclipse, right there at the Lord's Armada / Lord's Alliance moon base. Is there anything else you'd like to do in the ship before exiting? You do know this is your assigned ship, so you could always come back the next time you're on the moon base, but it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord's Armada.
So we don't need to have a heartfelt goodbye.
So as you start to get close, you'll hear the Gary, as you've been hearing him for the past few days.
Now approaching Saloon, the Gary is preparing to land. Brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself.
And you actually, this is one of the roughest parts of the journeys whenever it tries to stop. And that's because you feel the thrusters having to push against the momentum of in the direction you were all just moving. And it rumbles for just a few minutes and then it'll go silent. And you've, for the first time in a couple of days, feel yourself not floating, but on solid ground. And you have all landed in the hangar at the Lord's Armada base. Looking through the display screen, you'll see It's a pretty routine thing. There would be at least a dozen or two armed soldiers that are kind of just standing there. They're not necessarily treating you all with suspicion, but they are, you know, ensuring that it is the people that it's supposed to be. And you also notice that Captain Burke and Erky Timber's ship comes landing not too long after.
So we beat them.
You beat them.
I'm going to say telepathically to Solred, see, you picked the right ship. Ours is faster. It's got a claw on it.
I didn't know it was a race, but we sure did.
So you're all able to exit the ship, and the soldiers that are there seem pretty satisfied upon seeing you all. And then they walk as if they're going to come talk to you all. But then they see Captain Burke, and they actually run over to him, like, cheering, and like, hey, Captain Burke's back. And, like, they all seem like he's a really celebrated member of the Lord's Armada. And Sol Red, you would know that he is kind of like a celebrity. Like, people really like him. He's kind of like that big popular type, but he's also kind of an asshole sometimes. After the crowd kind of disperses, and you were all going to make your way deeper into the Lord's Armada base, you were actually approached by Captain Burke. And he has to kind of pull you all aside so that all these people crowding around him aren't really listening to what he has to say. And he's like, hey, I figured we better talk just in case there's some time that passes before we get to see each other again. You know, when we go in here, they're probably going to ask us all sorts of questions. And between me and all of you, I don't know exactly who we can trust.
I don't trust nobody.
Oh. Oh, yeah, Whiskey. Yeah, I'm not sure what we're going to do with you. You're not a soldier, are you?
No, I'm not a soldier. I'm a scientist. Sort of.
Then you won't have to debrief to anybody, but the rest of you. I'm just saying, maybe we should be careful with what we tell them.
Like?
Well, not everybody knows the purpose of my mission in the first place. Sol Red, Erky, and I kind of sent on a... Well, it's top secret. And that's because some of the higher-ups aren't quite certain if they can trust all the other higher-ups. Like I said, these Githyanki are supposed to be our allies. And that was not ally behavior. But I already kind of knew that. I mean, that's why we went out there to investigate in the first place. There's something fishy going on. So I think maybe you all keep your mouth shut, go enjoy a nice vacation down on the land, maybe visit some bars in Waterdeep for me, and I'll go ahead and do all the talking.
I'm going to look at Sol Red.
Would Sol Red know whether this is, like, normal behavior for Captain Burke?
Yeah, well, you do know that when you were all sent on your original mission, it's because it was top secret from some of the admirals within the Lord's Armada, because they really were worried that there is, like, someone infiltrating the ranks that they can't trust. And there are Githyanki that, though they're not part of Lord's Armada, they're supposed to be your allies. So, I mean, you feel like you can, like, trust him. He's really just kind of doesn't want someone to overshare something and then the wrong people like take you all out or something for knowing too much. One thing you know, at least those of you that were imprisoned, those Githyanki did not plan on you ever getting out of there. And the fact that you're gone now is probably a problem. You made it very clear you're part of the Lord's Armada and they didn't seem to care at all. And they knew Captain Burke was part of the Lord's Armada too. So that group certainly wasn't keeping their end of the alliance deal. You also know, the rest of you, that there was something fishy going on Amaron, and the Githyanki were doing something in that underground temple there as well. And you were all just going there to do research, so...
Captain, what exactly is it that you don't want us to say?
I just don't know if we should tell them where we've been the past couple weeks. I mean, we say it to the wrong person, maybe we don't wake up the next day, I don't know. There's something going on. Those are supposed to be our friends. And the uppers, they tell us we can trust them, 100%. And I can tell you right now, no, we cannot. As you all know, they were going to let us rot in there.
Where are you going to say we were?
I'll tell them that the mission was taking longer than we expected, and we ran into a couple issues, but I don't think I'm going to share any more details than I have to. I mean, what about you? You said you were on some other mission, were you not? They didn't send you to go investigate them like that, like us. You just ran into trouble.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain us being gone.
Look, you don't worry about a thing. I outrank all of y'all by quite a bit, and I'll make sure that all of you are gonna find yourselves in a comfy bed tomorrow.
I bet they'd believe it, their Gary malfunctioned.
You know what? That's a good point, Sol Red. Mm, why don't you stick with them for a little believable. Bit and make sure they don't say anything stupid? No offense, of course. I'm just trying to keep us all alive.
Well, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I gotta go for something that's not beans.
Brains, yes, let's go.
He turns as if to walk away, and then he goes, oh, I almost forgot. Whiskey.
Yeah.
I'm officially promoting you to ensign. Welcome to the Lord's Armada. Don't let us down. And then with no explanation, all he right. just turns around and walks away.
Hey, congrats.
Would I know what that rank is?
What's an ensign?
It's like the lowest possible rank in the military. It's like it's almost like you're training to be, but you still have clearance of like the lowest type.
I'll turn to Sol Red and say, is that a good thing? Do I want to be an ensign?
Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I mean, Sol Red's a soldier in the Armada, so like I mean, you know, working up the ranks, that's great. You got to start somewhere.
Oh, okay, well, all right. As long as you say it's good, I'll go with it, I guess.
So yeah, he just literally walks away, leaving you all standing in this shuttle bay. What did you all want to do?
I think Sol Red will put like her arm around Whiskey and like hold her maul aloft and be like, friends in arms, this will be a great adventure.
All right, do I have to wear a uniform or something?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
The combat suits are pretty nice. Plus, I don't have to think about what you want to wear in the morning.
But I like my clothes. They're great for playing in the dirt and stuff.
You just put them on over it.
Oh. Well, all right.
I think that's allowed.
I think that while this fashion discussion is happening, I'm going to pull aside info and be like, I don't think there's any way, regardless of whether we tell the truth or lie, that we come out of this looking great. What I'm concerned about is, okay, so we wake up tomorrow and we get to live and we get to continue working for the Lord's Armada, who doesn't give a shit about our safety and would let us rot in prison. I mean, what do we do?
Info's gonna like kind of bend over a little bit and put both hands on her shoulders and look her right in the eyes and just say, we're gonna lie our asses off. Because we are so screwed, no matter what. And then he's just gonna stand up and start walking.
I appreciate your honesty, my friend.
We got Rodney back, right? Or a different Rodney?
Mr. Rodney is kind of trotting along behind us. He doesn't have treads, because Info didn't have those on the bean ship. So they're just kind of like tinkle, tink, 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 little feet going along behind me.
I mean, you would have had time on the Eclipse, though, while we came back, if you wanted to modify them.
I only had one set of good treads. They were Nike.
We'll have to buy some on now that we're docked.
They're Jordans.
Yeah, if we go to like a Payless or a Nike store or something, I can get some Nike treads.
Eclipse not yet they're sponsored by.
Just do it.
So, is there anything you want to do while you're in the moon base, or do you want to go down to the surface? You know that the teleporter here, there's not like anyone can just teleport to the moon base. There's only one really way to teleport up here, and it's from like within the military base that's in the castle ward in Waterdeep. It's like the head of the Lord's Alliance is the only teleporter that can go back and forth. So it's not just like anyone can just go teleport to this moon base whenever they want. So if you do decide to go down to the land right now, then you would be teleporting to Waterdeep.
Is the place where this like debriefing is happening, is that the moon base and like the Lord's Armada is here, or is everybody down on land?
I mean, most of them are up here. There's definitely commanders and a lot of soldiers and things up here. You would probably need to do some sort of debriefing before going down to the surface.
I'm very curious about what Captain Burke is going to say, and I don't know if there's a way for us to like eavesdrop or be around or something.
Well, Captain Burke would probably debrief all the details to the person that sent Captain Burke and Sol Red on the mission originally, because that was kind of like their secret mission. I think what they're worried about is you telling all the details to someone else and then that person just happening to be one of the people they can't trust.
Okay.
So, like, I guess the person Sol Red would be debriefing to would be the same as Captain Burke, whereas all of you would be debriefing to whichever general had given you the original mission to go and explore Amaron and try to get all those artifacts out of the ruins.
Is there any cool stuff up here? Like any, you know, tourist traps or anything to show whiskey? Because I think this might be whiskey's first time being up on the moon base. So like a big ball of yarn or something.
I was gonna say like a big old like wheel of cheese or something. I feel like there's probably like a location here that's got like really like kitschy stuff and like has some
bumper
sort of
stickers.
Like food and drink delicacy kind of thing that you can only get when you're on the moon. And Solar goes
moon
there.
Dice.
She can't not come to the moon and not stop there. It's like it's tradition.
I just wanted to show Whiskey around before we head back landside.
I mean, they definitely have... I mean, like, it's a sizable complex, you know? Imagine, like a big space station. Like, they have a place where there's food and drinks. They have places where a lot of soldiers sleep. There's offices. There's actual bunkers. Like, it's a defense point as well. There are multiple shuttle bays. There's, you know, hundreds of ships that are kept up here and thousands of soldiers. There's not really, like... tourist stuff, because if you're a tourist, you're not really supposed to come up here. But I mean, there is like a big room with that's essentially a glass dome where you can see out into space, which is kind of cool. And then there, you know, like you said, at the place where they serve some food, they do got some pretty good stuff up in there. I don't know that it's anything that is like really exotic. I think it's more like things to remind the people stationed here of home, so it's a lot of food you can get in Waterdeep without having to travel back and forth, because even though it is instant, it does require a lot of energy, and in the end does cost them money just to go back and forth, so it's not like they're just letting people like wake up and go to work and teleport to the moon and then go back home at the end of the day. It's like people are stationed up here.
Yeah, I think as long as we show Whiskey like the dome and the gift shop, I think that'd be good enough for us to hit back planet side.
I mean, I do want a shirt that says I came and saw the moon and only got this stupid t-shirt.
That's well, actually your uniform.
Yeah, we'll all get those.
Oh, well, that works out real well.
That's our new uniform. We're all I'm just going to exclusively wear that.
It's also our new merch on Majestic Foods merch store.
Came to the moon base, all I got was this dang shirt.
Yeah, under your Lord's Armada armor. It's like you also have a t-shirt, and that's what it says on it. And then it says Lord's Armada. It's way better than those Navy t-shirts. So yeah, if you leave the hangar, you'll see that a whole bunch of these workers immediately start tending to the Eclipse and repairing it, checking it out and going through it and everything, refueling it, making repairs. And you were all able to walk through this complex towards the teleporter area. As you get there, there is multiple checkpoints where you have to, you know, they check your identity and check your badge and make sure that they know who you are. They all seem pretty satisfied. And just as you were all getting to the room where you can register to go teleport, you are approached by a General McAllister. And General McAllister is the one who, you don't know him really well or anything. He's just the person that kind of like, you know, signed off when you were all leaving and communicated to you the expectations of your mission. And when you come up and they've, I guess, it pinged the system that you're all here from going through all these checkpoints, he is waiting for you all. Oh, back so soon? I expected more artifacts.
I'm going to say telepathically to the other fort, lie. Someone lie. Someone someone get it.
There was a sentient artifact named Tucker, and he destroyed himself trying to kill us. And that was pretty much everything there was at that place with the things that tried to eat my face because they like metal. Did I mention there were giant monsters that wanted to eat metal? That was terrible. You guys should really scout ahead because that was an unsafe work environment for me, and I really think that that's like a violation of something, some codes or something.
OSHA.
That is why we sended you. you were scouting the area, researching, before we send any soldiers or anything.
Space is weird, man. You should send soldiers first.
Yeah, soldier scout, and then the scientist.
We're soft. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
I was going to... Info's so, not soft.
I'm hard.
So you were saying the location is... So you were saying that the location is hazardous.
Yeah, very.
Very.
Especially if you're metal.
What sort of sentient being was this? Do you have any more details?
It was like a brain in a sock or something, right? It was like in a ball.
We were not able to get eyes on it.
A brain in a sock? And he'll pull up this little device on his wrist, and he presses it, and he's like, a brain in a sock? All right, go on.
Pokedex.
Alien Pokedex.
Out of character, I forget what the rust monsters actually look like. You showed us pictures of them, and I cannot remember what they...
Yeah, they're like gold bronzish giant insectoids.
Okay, that's like what I thought. I was picturing spider things, and I didn't. Okay.
No, that's a Neogi.
I'm picturing, like, the weird insect guy from Brack, like the Brack show.
Zorak.
While we're talking to this guy, Info's going to lean forward behind him a little bit and try and look at the back of his neck.
He's just a normal human. He doesn't seem like he has anything coming out the back of his neck.
Info's just kind of like, okay. And lean back with the others.
He seems like the same guy that you all talked to before you left. And he's like holding his arm up as if he's recording now. And you said some sort of... What was it again? A living artifact?
Info's gonna lean into the guy's wrist and go, yes, a living artifact. ARTIFACT. And it was a ball, we think. It was disembodied. And there was a temple, and there was a giant monster. I'm pretty sure it killed Ava like 7 times, but she got better, and that was pretty much the gist of it, and then we left.
Yes, yes, very well, very well. All right, Amaron, hazardous, very good, and do a quick head count real quick. Seems like all of you are here. Wait a minute. And he's looking at his wrist. It seems like your numbers are the same, but... You do not seem to match the images whatsoever.
Now I see how you got promoted so high.
Kanan? Is Kanan not here? And Lita?
They wanted to move.
They're dead.
They're dead.
Yeah, they're the dead. Giant monster ate them.
What do you mean they're
monster
dead?
Monster ate them.
They moved there and then a monster ate them.
Oh my god, when did this happen? What was the date? What was the time? We need to notify their families.
5.
What is time, really?
It was like an hour after we got there.
4.
Time doesn't matter.
We were really broken up.
Sorry to hear that.
But we got new friends.
Yep.
This is Whiskey.
I'm not sure I've seen you here before.
Well, you know, I blend in real well.
He's like scanning you. Ensign Whiskey ? Do you have a surname?
I do.
It's like you've already been put in a system as just Ensign Whiskey.
All right, that works. Do you need it? Is it important?
It is. It is pretty important to have all of our soldiers documented.
Well, fine. My full name is Wissana Ravenmoon, but call me Whiskey.
Very well, Wissana Ravenmoon. He's like just enunciating into his wrist, even though it's recording the whole conversation anyways.
I feel like up to this point... Solrin has been, like, looking around to see if anybody else has been, like, listening to this conversation. But then, like, when Whiskey gives, like, her full name, she kind of, like, looks at her like, I like Whiskey, too. I think that's a good name.
I know, right?
This is Solrin.
Yes, I'm aware of Solrin here.
I was going to say, would I know him?
I mean, you've seen him before. I don't know if you know him personally because there are so many soldiers, but... You've been through this process before. Every time you have to go in and out this gate, there's people that... There's, like, multiple turnstiles where they're kind of doing brief interviews. Say, very well. Well, I'm sorry at the loss of your crew member. We'll have to address some follow-up questions in the future to get some more details, but it looks like you've all been through a lot, and I really am sorry to hear of the loss of your friends. Well, we'll be in contact soon. Here, how about... How about all of you can go ahead and enjoy a nice break, go down to the surface for a little bit, take a few days off, and we'll let you know when your next mission is prepared. We got more than a couple distress calls over the last few days. Not certain that your scientific expertise is what we need. And he looks at Sol Red. But your crew might be calling you back in. I heard Captain Burke's back in town.
Yeah, I think he's out debriefing currently to our general.
Wonderful. Well, you'll be hearing from someone as well then, too, I'm sure. We've been eager for some of the more able-bodied crews to return. Oh, yes? You are? And he's scanning you. Info-O-Scott. Yes, Info-O-Scott.
I hate getting scanned. It makes me tangly. Did you get Kanan's, updated will and testament? Because he added me as his sole benefactor. I have his yo-yo to prove it.
And a lunchbox.
Yeah, we have the lunchbox, too. He wanted me to have his stuff. Just making sure that got updated in the system. It may have not. It may have gotten lost due to subspace interference.
Email.
Yeah. Mm. Deflected through time or something.
I'm not really sure. I don't have access to that information. We will need to contact the personnel resources department to get all of that figured out.
Yeah, it's going to be a PR nightmare.
Sorry to hear that you lost, too. This was supposed to be just a peaceful mission. Good thing we sent you to do some research before sending an entire platoon there.
And still, that's backwards.
Info's just gonna look at Dr. Shepard and start shrugging and shaking his head.
Are we done?
You scientists are invaluable members of this military. You saved lives today. And he just walks away with a smile on his face as if he just rectified everything.
That's an odd fella.
Ava's, like, fuming. She's just, like, clenching her teeth, trying not to, like, scream at this man.
He 100% doesn't know how this works.
This little door opens. It's kind of like just getting on, like, a MARTA train or something. This door opens, and you can walk forward, and there's, like, multiple of these different people are being interviewed. And now you're in the main room where there is, like, these steps that go up, and there's a line of people, and this large device that is the teleporter. And as you're sitting there kind of waiting in this line, you'll see it flash, and a dozen or so people vanish. And another group of people will walk up, and after a couple minutes, it'll flash again, and that dozen or so people will vanish. And eventually it gets to your group. It's all of you plus a few other people that were waiting. And it seems like they send, you know, 10 or 12 people at a time. And you step up on this teleporter, and you've done this a couple times. This isn't the first time you've done this. And it'll flash, and you will be teleported down to the surface of Torrel into the castle ward of Waterdeep. And right there, I think we'll go to our commercial break.
Do you like Dungeons & Dragons lore? Do you like drunk history? Well, then Lore and Pour is the show for you, where we combine the two, drunk Dungeons & Dragons lore. I'm Adam DeWeese, and I'm the host, and I bring on a cast of rotating guests, and we hang out before the show, have a few drinks, and then they are given their topic 30 minutes prior to pressing the record button where they study up on the topic. And then we hit record, and whatever they say goes. They are treated as if they are the leading experts in the field. And I ask the questions that you never thought you needed to ask. Such as, how do mind flayers go to the bathroom?
Yeah, they just go one time, and it's pee and poop, and it's green.
What's the most dangerous creature in the astral plane?
It just pinch it. You know?
Yeah.
Just...
And that whale's like, you know
they
what?
They got pinchers?
Oh, you do they know have pinchers?
Who would win in a fight, a Tarrasque or a bear?
A Tarrasque.
Two bears.
A Tarrasque.
The Hulk.
The Hulk?
The Hulk from the Avengers.
A Tarrasque.
Two Hawks.
Probably still the Tarrasque.
And what is the currency like in the Nine Hills?
And it didn't seem worth it. To me, I was running low on saintly relics.
Finger bones.
That's right, yes, finger bones. I had a jawbone, but who wants to break a jawbone for a pair of skis? I mean, really.
Find the answers to all these questions and much, much more, whether they're accurate or not, on Lore and Pour. You can find Lore and Pour on the Majesticus Network and wherever you download your podcast every other Monday right now.
You find yourself in the midst of an endless frozen field. This would be difficult terrain for all but the most elite warriors, but you're no stranger to this punishing climate. You stand alone with nothing but your trusted silver blades and your most resplendent custom-made armor. This is it, the final encounter in a quest for gold that's brought you all over the world. You've been training your whole life for this, and you're ready.
If this sounds exciting, have we got great news for you about competitive figure skating.
Join us at the Ice Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating.
Whether you're a diehard fan or you just saw Yuri on Ice once and you thought it looked kind of cool, we're here to recap major events, interview your favorite skaters, break down the drama, and do the incredibly important sports journalism of rating the quality of plushies thrown out onto the ice.
We may not be technical specialists, but we are comedians with a lot to say. Check us out at bit.ly/IcedTeaPodcast or by searching the Ice Tea Podcast wherever you get your pods.
So after just a few seconds, you all rematerialize on the surface world. You are standing in a room that looks similar to the one that you were just in, but it's noticeably warmer, more humid, and you can tell that beyond the platform you're standing on, that it begins to look slightly less technological and more of the beautiful, like, tall walls and arches and buttresses of the Waterdeep Castle, the Lord's Castle. And yeah, you just see a whole bunch of mainly soldiers just jauntily talking and laughing and making their way into the town. During this time that you have a few days off, how do you think you would all like to spend your time? Waterdeep has basically anything you can think of. It has the most popular bar in the whole world, the Yawning Portal Inn. It has many shops to sell magical items. It has shops and like you said, lots of exotic food that you might be looking for, people you could speak with, places you can go see. And then at this point, you could tell me what like magic items and stuff you might have bought. I will say that you all have money transferred to your account for returning after a successful mission. I would think that you all got at least 1,000 gold each after completing a couple weeks of work out in space and almost dying and losing two of your crew members. But on top of that, I think just with the existing money, you definitely have enough to, you know, buy some magic items or anything. And just for the listeners, I think you can each have access to one uncommon magic item and one common item, and then you can use the rest of your money to spend however you see fit. So you don't have to worry about subtracting those from your from that 1,000 gold.
So I know I can go ahead and say the items I picked. I went with the Hat of Disguise because I realized that really screwed over Shepard in like episode 4 or 5, whenever it was, when the Gith came and I had to hide from him. So what that does is once a day I can cast Disguise Self and alter my appearance. I can even look like a different race. I just have to be like within a foot of my height and have like the same amount of limbs. I'm gonna say that looks like a top hat, but I usually squish it down. I don't always wear it, so Shepard's not just always in a top hat. It's just something I carry around if I need to disguise myself. And then secondly, I picked the Clockwork Amulet. So this will be an amulet that once a day I can, instead of rolling a d20, I can just get a 10. And that's usually because I roll very, very poorly on this character. So I would like to be able to come in clutch. I do have to say that when you make an attack roll while wearing the amulet, you can. So I don't get to roll and then say I'm going to use that. It's just me saying I'm going to use my amulet. And thematically, I like to picture it like painted with like designed like phases of the moon, but from a planet on the. Jeremy, what was that gate that years ago? It was a gate between like two different planes, solar systems, universes, something, and it got destroyed and pretty much cut off from that other half of the population over there.
Quite a while ago, like 20 years or something, someone accidentally opened up a portal from the Faerun to Eberron, which was like in a mirror universe version of Tyrell, and they had technology that was more advanced than all yours, And they actually used that technology when they did kind of like a information and cultural exchange to push the space technology to the point where it is now. That's actually where they got the technology to build these teleporters that can send people such a distance and safely and, with a decent amount of certainty. It was a gate between Faerun and Eberron.
Okay. Yeah. I'm still trying to find a way back there, and I like to picture this amulet actually has like a moonscape of phases of the moon that doesn't quite match anything in this plane. It's something from over there.
So you all spend your time shopping, I would assume, as part of what you're doing, and you got that. What did the rest of you buy? I know I said each of you can get a magic item.
Solred, for her common item, she got a breathing bubble, which is basically like an air bubble that she can put on like a helmet. And it lets her have breathable air for an hour. So this is something that will help her with repairing the ship if we're in the atmosphere. So she can still breathe. I don't know. Maybe we'll see how that works out. And then she also got gauntlets of ogre power, which increases her strength score to 19. So she can hit harder with that maul. And I imagine that she tried to find ones that would kind of go with like she wears a lot of like reds and blacks and like dark steel colored stuff. So she would try and find ones that match her ensemble.
Anytime I think of the ogre hand things, I always picture like those Hulk hands that Iron Man has, or just big Hulk hands like that kids can buy.
I mean, aren't they?
That's how I always picture them.
There's ones that you can get where they like have they're like meant to be like basically like beer koozies. Like you can put like a can inside of them. Uh-huh.
That's what Solred is thinking. Like, in my head cannon.
I was thinking Lion-O's like claw glove from Thundercats, where it just like fits right over.
Cool. What did the rest of you get?
I think rather than shopping per se, what Ava decides to do is, in her monastic order, the Order of the Chrysalis, it's tradition that the first time and then every subsequent time that you die and come back to life, you get a tattoo to commemorate the fact that you returned to your body. So I think Ava maybe doesn't have enough money right now to get all those, but is going to get a couple. So I'm going to do the... for my uncommon, I'm doing the Eldritch Claw tattoo, which, first of all, the way that the magic tattoo text works for me personally, and this is totally your call, Jeremy, it's weird to me that you have to like carry the needle and like it, like, and redo it. Like, is it what I have done in games that I've DM'd, and like, you can cut all this, I don't care, is like, just had it be like, it's a regular tattoo, and if you unattune with it, it's just a tattoo, and then if you attune with it, it's magic. But it just doesn't make sense to have to carry needles around to me. Like,
yeah, I think that seems reasonable.
Okay, so I think she's just getting,
yeah, I didn't know
it's
that.
Wicked weird. It's like, I
feel like that seems more reasonable than constantly removing your own tattoo.
Yeah, constantly having to tattoo yourself and learn. Oh, hey, by the way, you had to learn how to be a tattoo artist now, Ava.
Well,
good
and
luck.
It's like I'm going to carry around like a tattoo gun everywhere. Like, no. So,
yeah, the way that I understand it is basically you just place like the needle on your skin and then it like the ink just kind of like comes out and just places it. You don't like actually like have to tattoo. It just
have
it
to read, have
itself.
To take
it's
a 6-hour session.
I agree. Like, why not just make it like a toggle on and off?
Yeah, I don't know. Flavor wise, I would like it to be like actual tattoos, if that's okay. Yeah. So for the uncommon one, I'm doing the Eldritch Claw tattoo, which basically empowers your unarmed strikes and makes them considered magical attacks and gives +1 to attack and damage. And then as a bonus action, you can do a cool Eldritch Claw thing that makes your that basically gives you range on melee or unarmed strikes. And I think that what that looks like is that Ava's going to get on the backs of both of her hands just like really detailed, intricate black and white skeleton hands. And then
oh, hell
I think
yeah.
For the common item, I'm going to do a spell rot tattoo of a level one spell. And the spell I picked was shield because maybe this shouldn't happen so frequently with the dying. Tattoos are expensive. And I wanted to just get it on the palm of my right hand as just the outline of a butterfly that can sort of pop out and act as a shield.
Those skeleton hands are badass. But also, if it just said, find out on your knuckles, that would have been fucking badass.
That would have been cool. That would have been cool. I don't think that Ava's self...
I think Skeleton wins.
I don't think
Ava's
self-aware enough to know that she's coined a catchphrase. I think yeah. that she just wants to be like as metal as possible.
She doesn't know that these outsider gods playing her have come up with the catchphrase for her.
I have to assume getting anatomically accurate skeleton tattooed on your hands probably sucks ass because it's like just all bones on the bony parts, which is the worst. But I think the pain is probably very grounding for Ava, who has a lot of rage after this past mission.
You can have the negative space be the bones, and then you're only tattooing the parts that where your bones aren't as fun.
That's true. Although I think Ava's hands are super ripped, so like there's not like it's not like, you know,
no
if
hope.
I get a tattoo, I'm like, we'll do it on like a nice fleshy part, but like Ava's like
0.1% body fat.
I think Whiskey wants to tag along with Ava. Because oh, yeah. Whiskey's getting a tattoo too. Hers is going to be a little mask. She's getting the masquerade tattoo, which lets me cast Disguise Self. And it comes with a real neat feature called Fluid Ink. So as a bonus action, you can shape the tattoo into any color or pattern and move it to any place on your skin. So
I wish that was real. That would save me a lot of money in real life.
So that's the common magic item for Whiskey.
That is very cool. What about your uncommon?
She's getting herself a damn spell book.
Is it a special spell book?
Yes. I came across the Arcane Grimoire, and that spell book also acts as my spellcasting focus, so I only have to have one thing in my hand. And it also gives a plus one to spell attack rolls and to the DC of my spells.
Sounds pretty good, too. And now you actually have a spell book, so you can do more than Firebolt, which is ideal.
I bet Whiskey feels yes. a lot more whole right now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, Apricot is canonically very with Soul Red during this, because I can't, unless it's like the world's seediest, grossest tattoo parlor, I have to imagine animals probably aren't like encouraged.
We should name this place. Because I feel like we might not just come back here and everyone's just going to get tatted up over the series.
Soren already has a tattoo. Oh, she yeah. has one that goes up her... It's mundane, but it's like a tree and like the roots go down her back and then the tree goes... Like the branches go up around the back of her head.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, what is the name of this tattoo parlor and where in Waterdeep is it?
It's in the dock ward. So Apricot's allowed
yeah,
in.
Yeah, the rough and tumble part of town.
It's yeah. called the Mischievous White Unicorn.
Okay.
I like that.
Because the three places that I, Megan, have been tattooed in real life were called White Rabbit, Mischief, and Unicorn.
So that's such a big sign. Or not a big sign, but with really little writing.
It's just a picture of a white unicorn. It just has like a kind of a smirk, and it's like, I don't know, did I?
But I imagine that, like, since we're in the Docks District, that it used to be a white unicorn, and it doesn't look so white anymore. Like, it's super yeah. faded, and, like, you're like, is that mischief on its face, or has it just been, like, scratched away and, like, worn out, and...
It's just seen some things.
Yeah.
Like grayish yeah. beige. Rutger
like
Howard.
A blood splatter on it or something.
Is there anyone that hasn't gone yet?
Info.
Info was so pissed about not having weapons and not having the ability to use magic for that time in jail that he went out and went to a specialty warforged guy, Bosco's Body Alteration, and he picked up a arm blade lance, so it's just like two large like gears that are like they look like armbands on his forearm, and they like spin, and as they spin they ratchet out to form a lance, and the arm blade lance actually is a little unique for a common item because it actually, I believe it gives me like an extra 5 foot reach. So I have a 10 foot reach with it.
Wow.
And it's a 1d12 damage plus 4 for me.
You're like Meta Knight now. That's what I imagine. Where he's like,
oh, it's going to be even more knighty because I'm getting a shield too.
Nice. What kind of shield?
The uncommon item is the Sentinel Shield. And while holding the shield, you have advantage on initiative rolls and wisdom perception checks, rather. So I get plus 2 to my AC, so I'm armor class 20 now. And I have advantage on initiative and perception because I was going last like every time we fought.
I like to picture Bosco's is actually just in a back room of the Dirty Donkey where like they do like Warforged. It's like an auto repair shop / Warforged.
Like Warforged. Soup up your Warforged. A little deep gnome running around.
Pimp my Warforged.
They'll put spinning rims on it.
Yo, dog.
They're chrome gears.
So I put a lance in your lance.
Flames on the lance.
Does it have flames or like a racing stripe?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got racing stripes on it. It's Exhibit back there. Exhibit is Bosco in my headcanon now.
The Sentinel Shield just comes out like around. It just like clicks out. And when it locks into place, you see that like Borg alcove, like electricity just emanating from the middle. And that's like the magical power of the eye.
What did that do for your initiative?
It gives me advantage on initiative and perception rolls.
Cool. I can give one person a bonus to every initiative pretty much permanently, too. So now we could give, like, two. I usually just give it to Ava, because she's usually the one that needs to get in there and actually fight stuff.
Yeah, she's got to die sooner.
He can also, like, just half deploy it and then play Yu-Gi-Oh! Wherever he wants.
It kind of sounds like a fidget spinner, too, which I really appreciate. It's like...
Yeah. You just like walk next to info and stuff.
We're just like walking through the streets of Waterdeep, and it's like click 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 click.
People hate us.
Listen, it keeps them busy, keeps them on task. It's important.
Just keep alternating one arm gadget to the other, just to like play around.
Can't figure out which way.
Accidentally poking people in front of me with a lance.
Okay, so you're all able to go shopping, buy food, take some time to relax, and about 3 days pass before you are contacted again by the Lord's Alliance. Separately, you all get messages that are stating that they have another mission for you. You also get a notification that Captain Burke has recommended Sol Red to join this crew temporarily for this mission, and that Ensign Whiskey, who has been appointed a temporary position in the military by Captain Burke, has also been selected for this very important mission, and that you were all asked to report back to the moon base at a specific time the next morning. Is there any last minute things you would like to do in Waterdeep before returning back to the moon base to be briefed, or what you at least are thinking to be briefed on your next mission?
Yeah, Solred, one thing that she wants to do, she has uncles who live in Baldur's Gate, and so she'll want to write just like a letter just to be like, hey, you know, like nondescript stuff, like nothing that Captain Burke wouldn't want to say in a letter that could be intercepted, but like just like basically,
but don't trust his fucking gifts.
but basically just kind of like came back from mission, we're about to head out to another one, like I'm safe, you know, or you know, like I'm still alive kind of thing, you know, just like a touching base kind of thing, and she'll just kind of have that sent off to Baldur's Gate.
Okay, yeah, you can definitely get something delivered down to Baldur's Gate. It's really only a couple days wagon ride, or like a seconds on the spaceship, I guess, but they don't do that anymore. Now they just go straight from the moon.
They don't deliver mail by spaceships.
I think Ava would also want to try and send word back to the monastery, just that she's going off on another mission. Like, she doesn't need their permission because it's just sort of a, like, indefinite, like, I don't know what you would call it, like a posting to this position of like security officer on these Lords Armada missions, but just to sort of let them know that she's going on a new one and where she's going and what she's hoping to find in terms of, you know, anthropological information, I guess.
Is this one of those temples that where you like have to send in like a percentage of your pay in exchange for
no,
them
they're
training
actually,
you all those
like,
years or something
duper,
like that?
Like, I'm picturing like the anarchist society and the dispossessed, where they just like don't believe in like money or possessions at all.
That checks out. You just bought tattoos, so yeah.
Put it on your body and let it die with you, or not.
Leave a tattooed corpse, yeah.
Also during this time, Whiskey, you actually were separately contacted, not only by the Lords Armada, when they said that Captain Burke assigned you to this mission, but also by Erky Timbers. And Erky asked you if you'd be interested in being a secret operative for the Harpers, much like Sol Red and Captain Burke and himself. How would you have responded to this request?
I mean, sure, why not?
I feel like Whiskey says yes to fucking anything. It does not matter.
I mean, do I have to wear a uniform for that one?
Two uniforms.
You know that you wouldn't need a specific, because the Harpers are like, they're secretive in that the government knows they exist, but like no one knows the individual members, and they know that they're like a force for good, but they're also not like officially sponsored by the government, and it's they're good guys.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. That'd be, I mean, the Harpers are all about like learning shit, right? And I'm all about learning shit, so works for me.
Awesome. And that would have just happened sometime over the last 3 days when you were all gallivanting around the largest city in the entire planet. But you are all now going back up to the Lords Armada military building in the Castle Ward. And after jumping through a couple hoops, you're able to make it back into the teleporter room and teleport back to the moon base to be briefed.
What's their policy on animals? Are they cool with animals? I mean, we've got that apricot, right? So they're cool with that?
It does seem like they've never stopped Ava, even when she's had apricot on her shoulder. Then again, it's a familiar, so it might not have even registered. Isn't it like ethereal, or is apricot a real ferret?
Apricot was a real ferret when we went into space, and now she's ethereal. It was never clear to me whether I was allowed to bring her or whether Ava was just too scary looking that no one questioned it. but she did go, so.
Info's got a fucking coffee pot that follows them around.
Ooh, say what?
So then my familiar's not a problem, right?
What is your familiar?
A lizard. About yay big.
Yeah, no one seems to mind your lizard. And it's that small in comparison to little gnome hands.
He's got a little tadpole.
He's a little tiny thing.
What's his name?
He likes to curl up in my pouch.
What's his name?
Howard.
Howard.
Howard and Apricot and Rodney are going to have to fight.
Sauron has a mission to make another friend.
Oh, I need something now. And Sol Red. Well, Sol Red's got Apricot 50-50 timeshare, apparently.
Apricot doesn't discriminate between redheaded women. Like, she has a type. It's all she cares about.
So you all make it up to this teleporter. It blinks a couple times, and you are being teleported into space. And that is where we will end this episode of Eclipse. Hey everybody, this is Jeremy, your DM. Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Eclipse. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did when we recorded it. The plot is really starting to take off now, so I'm super excited to get deeper into this story. The next episode of Eclipse will release in 2 weeks, so make sure that you're subscribed to Eclipse so you never miss an episode. And if you've enjoyed Eclipse, please tell your friends about us. Go wherever you like to get your podcasts and leave us a rating and a review. We have gotten a lot of downloads and a lot of positive feedback, so I really, really appreciate all the support. You can keep up to date with all the Eclipse content by following us on Twitter. That is @EclipsePod. We are super active on there. You can also go to TheEclipsePod.com, where you can learn about the show and the crew and all the awesome voice actors that are playing the characters for Eclipse. Eclipse is part of the Majestic Goose Podcast Network, so you will want to check that out as well. We're home to over a dozen podcasts and streams. We have everything from actual plays to talk shows. We even do a live nerdy craft stream every week, so we really do it all here on the Majestic Goose Network.
We release new content 6 days a week with shows like Doom Clock, One Shot Onslaught, Halfway to Hero, Dice Talk, Roll for Weird, and many, many more. So go to majesticgoose.com and check out all that awesome stuff on there. You can check out our weekly streaming schedule and just come say hi to us. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time on Eclipse.